అంతవంతయి మే దేహ నిత్యస్యోక్తా శరీరిణః అంతవంతయి మే దేహ నిత్యస్యోక్తా శరీరిణః అనాశినో ప్రమేయస్య తస్మాద్యుద్యస్వ భారత అనాశినో ప్రమేయస్య తస్మాద్యుద్యస్వ భారత Most of the ideas are already given earlier, in the earlier shlokas. The earlier shloka we called in actually 2.13, chapter 2, second, 13th shloka, Dehinosmin yata dehe kaumaram yuvanam jara. There we called Dehi as Atma. Here he calls Atma as Shariri. There he called it as Dehi, Dehaha and Dehi. Dehi is Atma, Dehaha is Anatma. And Shariram is Anatma, Shariri is Atma. So he calls it a Shariri in this shloka. And this Shariri Atma is Nityaha, eternal. And Anashinaha, it is imperishable. This is Nityaha and Anashinaha. And then Aprameyaha. Aprameyaha, we can have two meanings for that. One is it is immeasurable, it is infinite. Atma is eternal, it is imperishable, and it is infinite. That is one meaning. And the second meaning is Atma is never an object of our experience. Atma is never an object of our experience. It can never be experienced. Because it is the very experiencer itself. So you can never experience it because it is the very experiencer. Because, for example, if you can give a simple example, we can see everything with our eyes. But what we cannot see with our eyes? Our own eyes. To see your own eye, you need a mirror only. You can never see your eye. The same way, the Atma, the subject, it can see everything, but it can never be experienced. So, the subject can never become an object. And actually, to give our modern day example, when we use our telephones from our home, let us say any phone, what is the number that you can ever access in that phone? Your own number. Whenever you lift the phone, it is always engaged. Your own number you can never access. So the consciousness, the chaitanyam, can never see, can never hear, can never taste, can never smell. In no other way, it is available for study. Because all other things which are available for study should go through any one of these experiences. If this is beyond any of those experiences, it is never available for any study. So all studies can deal with only matter, matter and matter. It can never deal with Atma at all. All studies that we can study through the instruments of our cognition, that can study only matter and Atma. So consciousness is the studier. It is never the studied. It is the experiencer and it is never the experienced. So it is aprameyaha. It is aprameyaha, never available for analysis. So these are the two meanings for aprameyaha. One is it is infinite, other one is it is never available for any analysis. But this body, the shariram, which belongs to this Atma, which is imperishable. Atma is imperishable, but this body which belongs to the Atma is perishable. It is always perishable. So ime dehaha, this body, antamantaha, it is perishable. It is subject to an end. It is perishable. So what you possess is perishable, but you are imperishable. What you possess is perishable. The body is perishable. Who is possessing the body? The Atma is possessing. I am imperishable. So you will lose everything. Position, possession, fame, name, body, mind, everything can be lost. No problem. But the Atma can never be lost. So always depend on yourself. Yourself will never be lost. So never depend on the possession. Depend on only yourself, the Atma. So the law is what? The rule is never depend on any possession, period. Therefore, Bhishma is your possession. Drona is your possession. They are all your guru. They are all your acharyas. And Arjuna, you are now trying to lean on them, who are all your possessions. The moment you try to lean on your possession, the possession will be gone one day or the other, and you can never lean on them. So, Atmanam Vindate Viryam. Lean on yourself. Lean on yourself only. Be independent. That means what? Be independent. Do not be dependent on anything else. Whatever may be the source of happiness, do not depend on any one of them except yourself. So Muktaha, a person who is a Muktaha, he never leans on anything in the world. Even if they say God as an Anatma, somebody comes and says, oh, this God is also Anatma, what they will do? They will keep the God also only as an object of experience and will not lean on them. Who are these people? Muktaha, the Jnaninaha, they won't depend on them. So Tasmat, therefore, Arjuna, why I am teaching all this to you? You just swear. Not because of an academic discussion. You have to now take into war. You have to fight this war. So do not run away from this war. Because of all these considerations, you have to now fight. So you must fight. There is no question of killing Bhishma or Drona. Bhishma is eternal. It's all-pervading self. And like yourself, all-pervading. So you, the killer, is supposed to be the killer. You are also infinite. Bhishma, the killed, is also infinite. There is no question of killing at all in that matter. So, Tasmadin Yudhyasvam Bharata, O Arjuna. So, what are the things we have seen now about Atma? Atma is Nityaha. We want to now summarize whatever we have done through the last class and along with what we have said just now. Atma is Nityaha means eternal. Atma is Nirvikaraha, is not subject to any change, it is changeless. Atma is Satyam, it is independently existing, it is not a dependent vastu like a body. Satyam. Atma is Sarvagataha. Sarvagataha means what? All pervading. Atma is all pervading, but Ekaha. That we have to understand. Even though it is all pervading, it is only one. Ekaha. So, all pervading should be only Yata Akashaka Ekaha. Akashaha, the way space is only one. You have got everything in space, but space is only one. Whatever things that we have, they are all in space, but space is only one. So is also Atma. And here in this shloka we got aprameyaha. It is never an object of experience, but the experiencer of everything or illuminator of everything is this Atma, and it is never illumined by anything. Unless something is illumined by something, it will not be available for study. So Atma being the experiencer, it illumines everything, but it is never illumined. So now Krishna is going to mention another important point also in the next shloka, that Atma is Akarta and Abhokta. Akarta means the non-doer. Atma is not a doer of anything, and because it is not the doer of anything, it is also not the experiencer of anything. Only the person who does action will enjoy the benefit of the action. So when the person is not doing anything, will not be also enjoying the benefit of action. So that is what he is going to tell in the next shloka. Yayenam Vetti Hantaram.
Yayenam Vetti Hantaram. Yayenam Vetti Hantaram.
Yaschainam Manyate Hatam.
Yaschainam Manyate Hatam. Yaschainam Manyate Hatam.
Yayenam Vetti Hantaram. Yaschainam Manyate Hatam.
Yayenam Vetti Hantaram. Yaschainam Manyate Hatam.
Ubau tau na bijanito.
Ubau tau na bijanito. Ubau tau na bijanito.
Nayam hanti na hanyate.
Nayam hanti na hanyate. Nayam hanti na hanyate.
Ubau tau na bijanito. Nayam hanti na hanyate.
Ubau tau na bijanito. Nayam hanti na hanyate. Ubau tau na bijanito. Nayam hanti na hanyate.
So we said karta. Karta means the doer of any action. The one who does an action is called a karta. And bhokta is the one who enjoys the fruit of the action. Karma and karma phala. The one who does karma is karta. The one who is enjoying the karma palam is bhokta. So karta is with respect to a karma. So karta is with respect to an action. Bhokta is also is respect to what? With respect to the karma palam. So karta with respect to action and bhokta with respect to karma palam. So karma drishtya karta and phala drishtya it is bhokta. So when I am doing an action, I become the karta. When the action is going to be converted to a reaction, it will produce what? Punyam and papa. When any action that we do, when it is converted, when it is the reaction part of that is what? Results in the punya or papa, which in turn produces what? Sukham and dukkha. So if I do punyam, I get sukham. If I do papam, I get dukkha. So punya papa, action converted to punya papa, resulting in sukha dukkha. So this is the general trend. And action goes from karta, it gets converted to punya papam, which gets converted further into sukha dukkham, and that converted sukha dukkham will ultimately come to me alone, the karta. So it will not go to anybody else. It will come to me only. It is like money exchange. You have dollar, you go to another country, change it to some other currency. Belongs to you only. So one who does the action has to reap the results of the action. So whatever action I do, I have to reap the benefits or suffering of that action. So karta becomes bhokta. Whomsoever is the karta, the doer, becomes the bhokta, the enjoyer. So here the nature is extremely fair and most efficient. The address is never mistaken. You can send a mail to somebody, the address may be mistaken, it may go to somebody else. But the punya papa benefit, the address never is missed. Whomsoever is the karta, it goes invariably to him only. It doesn't go to anybody else. That is nature. So, karta evam bhokta bhavati. And sometimes there may be a longer gap. Sometimes you may get the benefit immediately. You do an action, immediate benefit. Sometimes the time gap may be few days, weeks, months, years, janmas. It may be even several births. One may have to wait for the results of the action for several births perhaps. Normally they give the example of a calf looking for a cow. Even if you in Shastras, even if you have a herd of several thousands of cows, the calf will always locate the mother. Wherever the mother is, the calf will always locate the mother regardless of the number of cows that are there in the herd. The same way, the punya papa, sukha dukkha, whatever is the karma palam, it will always reach the doer even after several janmas. So that nature has got that beautiful accounting ability. It's the greatest accountant. It will find out who the actual karta is even after several janmas and go only to that person. So being karta, karta means what? Correcting punya papa, going through sukham and dukkham, pressures and pain, and again doing action. Again doing action, again collecting punya papa, again getting bond, so reaping the benefit. This cycle goes on forever. The cycle goes on forever. So this kartru-bhoktru cycle, this is called kartru-bhoktru cycle, is called samsara. So this kartru-bhoktru cycle, doing the action, reaping the benefit, doing the action, reaping, this is called samsara, endless. And Krishna is pointing out here that atma is never a karta. Atma is never the doer. Only the body is the doer and atma is never the doer. But the moment it is identified with the body-mind complex, once the moment the atma is identified with the body-mind equipment, then the akarta seems to have become the karta. Even though it is not the karta, the moment you identify yourself with the body, the akarta atma appears to be the karta, the doer. So how atma is akarta is pointed out in this shloka, and in the second line, fourth quarter, it says anyam nahanti nahanyate. I am nahanti nahanyate. I am means this atma, refers to this atma, nahanti, never kills anyone. This atma never kills anyone. Killing stands for what? It's an action. Because the war field, he is talking about killing. It can be any other action. It can be eating, walking, whatever may be the action, doesn't matter. This atma never engages in any action. It never performs any action. Killing here should be taken as a representative of action. It is a upalakshana. In Vedanta, it is called upalakshana, a representative. And when we say atma does not kill, it means what? it does not eat, etc. It does not do any action, including killing. Tasmat atma akarta. Because it is not engaged in any action, atma is called akarta, non-doer. And then, is this atma killed by someone? Okay, atma doesn't kill. Is it killed by someone? He says, nahanyate. Nahanyate. It is not killed by anyone either. It doesn't kill. It is not killed by anyone. It does not become the object of any karma. What is the object of any karma? The karma action. The eating action. The enjoyment of the water food. So here, the killing is the action. Being killed, it is not the object of any karma also. So previously, it does not become the subject of any karma. Now it does not become the object of any karma also. That's what he says. Nahanti, nahanyate. I am nahanti, the karta, nahanyate, the bhokta. So that's what he says. And why do we say atma is akarta and abhokta? Krishna does not give the reason here, but we can easily understand that by our own analysis. Because that which is all pervading, we said atma is sarvagataha. Sarvagataha means all pervading. So that which is all pervading cannot do any action at all. Now you say space is all pervading. Can space do any action? Every action happens in space. But space itself is not engaged in any action itself. Because space is all pervading. So when you have something which is all pervading, it cannot itself do any action, because any action or karma requires movement or changes. Any action requires movement or changes. And karta has to undergo a change to do any action. The doer has to undergo some change to do any action. The body can do action because it can undergo a change. My body can do action because it can undergo a change. Oral action is possible because mouth goes through changes. And mental action is possible because of what? Mind goes through changes. Various thoughts are changes of mind. So all these changes can happen to my body, to my gross body, to my subtle body, which results in action. So any changing thing can be an agent or doer. Any changing thing only. A non-changing thing, namely atma, can never do anything. So to do anything requires a change in something, and that change in something cannot happen with respect to atma. So atma is not a doer. Okay, then it can do what? Okay, it doesn't do anything. Then what at all it can do? Atma, it can just only be. Atma, it is that isness, that beingness, that alone what atma can do. It is just existing. It doesn't engage in any action. It does not enjoy any benefit of the action. It is just is. Atma is. It just has the sheer existence principle. So atma is, it be. So it cannot walk, it cannot speak, it cannot do anything, but it is. That is atma. Okay. Now like what? Akashaha is the most common example. Like akashaha, what job the space does? Does no job. The earth does lot of jobs. It goes around the sun, spins around itself. Does so many things. The earth does. The waters, the fire, wind, they all do lot of jobs. They all do lot of work. Because they are all limited in nature. Whereas space is infinite, is all pervading, and because it is all pervading, it cannot engage in any action, whereas all other elements can engage in action. But among the Panchabhutas, Akasha alone cannot do any job because it is Sarvagataha, all pervading. Sarvagataha is all pervading. It only does one thing, namely, it accommodates everything. It accommodates everything in speech. It accommodates all actions, and not only all actions, the benefits of all action also is accommodated in space. Okay, in space, all actions, good, bad, evil, everything happens. Secular, everything happens in this. But space itself is not engaged in any action, does not involve in any action. Also, all reactions also take place in space only. When a person does the good action, he gets punya. When he does a bad action, he gets papam. Everything happens in where? In the space. Everything happens only in the space. So karma and karmapalam both happen in space when space itself is not engaged or involved in any action. So as far as space is concerned, it has neither karma nor karmapalam. So it is akarta and abhokta. So this is why we call it asangaha. In Vedanta, there is another term for it. It is called asangaha. Sangaha means associated.
it is asangaha, without any association of either karma or karmaphalam. So it is ever detached from all this turbulence, all the actions that happens, all the karmaphalam that accompanies the actions. It is always free from all of them. It is ever detached from all of them. So it is called asangaha. In the same way, atma also, like space, it is all pervading. Itself does not perform any action, but accommodates all actions. Atma accommodates all actions, but does not perform any action. The body performs all the actions. The body performs, the mind performs, the body performs all, it eats, it grows, all these things the body does. You eat, what is the benefit of eating? Growth. So body eats, karta. Body grows, mukta. So this all body does. So sthula shariram acts, the gross body acts, sukshma shariram, the subtle body also acts. Atma accommodates all of them, all these actions, but itself is akarta and abhokta. And this being the fact, what really happens? When the person does not know this, what he says? I, the atma, the consciousness, do not do any action. When he identifies with the body, when the person identifies with the body, the actions of the body will appear to be my own actions. So when I identify myself with the body, then the actions of the body appear as though it is my action, the consciousness, the atma's action. This is called what? Confusion. This is simply confusion. I am confusing myself with my body, and the actions done by the body, I associate myself with that action, and I am thinking I am going to suffer or enjoy the benefits of that action. So when I, the atma, is not doing any action, and it appears as if I am doing the action, it is because of what? Deha abhimanaha. Association with the body or identifying with the body is called the dehabhimana buddhihi. This is association with the body. This is what is said here. Yaha yenam khantaram veti. Yaha yenam khantaram veti. The one who takes this atma. Yenam means atmanam. One who takes this atma to be what? Khantaram. Khantaram to be the killer. Again, killing is only an action, example, representative example, upalakshanam. Khantaram to be the killer. Actor as a karta. Yascha yenam manyate khatam. And the one who takes the atma to be the killed. The one who takes the atma to be the killer. And the one who takes the atma to be killed. That is bhokta. Ubau tau na vijanitaha. Ubau, both of them. Both of them, navijanitaha, do not know what the atma is. So the guy who thinks atma is the killer, and the guy who thinks atma is the killed, both of them do not know what is this atma. They are associating the atma with the body. And that is called confusion, and that is delusion. It is actually, you know, to give practical examples, you sit inside a train. Your train is not moving, it is static. But the other train is moving. How it appears to you? It appears as your train is moving. So that means you are associating an action happening elsewhere with you when you are not doing any action. Similar thing, like for example, on a moony day, covered by clouds. The clouds are traveling very fast. How it appears? The moon moves. As if the moon is moving very fast, it appears, whereas only clouds are moving. So these are all illusions or delusions that happen to a person. So here also, I, the Atma, the consciousness, the Chaitanyam, who never moves, I am immovable, but in front of me, what happens? The mind moves. So many thoughts come and go. The body moves. All these things move, and it appears as if I am moving. The consciousness is moving. The atma is moving. This is called confusion. And Krishna says, ubau tau na vijanitaha. People are confused. They do not know. I am nahanti nahanyate. Atma never does action, nor is ever the receiver of the phalam, the karma phalam, the benefit of the action. And then what should we infer from this? We said earlier that being karta and bhokta alone is samsara. We already said what is samsara? Being karta and bhokta. By saying atma is akarta and abhokta, what Krishna says is atma is never a samsari. We are samsaris, atma is never a samsari, it is nitya mukta swarupaha. Nitya mukta swarupaha, it is ever liberated. Nitya muktaha means ever liberated. So atma is asamsari, atma is nitya muktaha. These are all things which we infer again from this shloka. These are the implications. And this is relevant in this particular context because Arjuna thinks that he is the Karta. He is the killer. He is going to kill Bhishma. He is going to kill Drona. That's what he thinks. So it is Arjuna's confusion, and that is why Krishna says, you are neither the killer nor Bhishma the killed. You are neither the killer nor Bhishma is killed. So the transaction is not between you and Bhishma, the Chaitanyam, you and Bhishma, but it is between your body and Bhishma's body. The transaction is between the bodies of you and bodies of Bhishma and Drona only, but it is not with the Chaitanyam. That's what he says again. And he says, Na jayate mriyate va kadachite.
Na jayate mriyate va kadachite. Na jayate mriyate va kadachite.
Nayam bhutva bhavita vana bhuyaha.
Nayam bhutva bhavita vana bhuyaha. Nayam bhutva bhavita vana bhuyaha.
Na jayate mriyate va kadachite. Nayam bhutva bhavita vana bhuyaha.
Najayate mriyate va kadachite. Nayam bhutva bhavita vana bhuyaha. Najayate mriyate va kadachite. Nayam bhutva bhavita vana bhuyaha.
Ajo nitya shashvatoyam purano.
Ajo nitya shashvatoyam purano.
Nahanyate hanyamane sharire.
Nahanyate hanyamane sharire. Nahanyate hanyamane sharire.
Ajo nitya shashvatoyam purano. Nahanyate hanyamane sharire.
Ajo nitya shashvatoyam purano. Nahanyate hanyamane sharire.
So Krishna is now emphasizing the previous point that we saw earlier. Atma is nirvikaraha. It doesn't undergo any modification. It is changeless. He says, Na jayate mriyate va kadachite. We said earlier there are sixfold modifications for everybody. Asti, jayate, vardate, viparinamate, apakshiyate, vinashyati. Asti, body is. Jayate is born. Vardate grows. Viparinamate changes. Apakshiyate decays. Vinashyati dies. So all these sixfold modifications are all there for everybody. For everybody. And these modifications are not there for the Atma. And he is now negating five of the modifications here. Na jayate. Atma does not have a janma. It does not have birth. Atma na jayate. We never have, for the Atma there is nothing like a date of birth for the Atma. For the body there is a date of birth. For the Atma there is no date of birth. It is for the body. All the birthday parties are all for what? For this body. So the sthula shariram. Not also just the body. Body is the complex of three bodies, we told. Sthula shariram, grass body. Sukshma shariram, subtle body. And karana shariram, causal body. So this is only, this date of birth is for only the grass body. Sthula shariram. Then, if it is not born, what about death? Namriyate. Because it is not born, where is the question of death? There is no death also. So, whatever is born alone dies. Atma is never born, so there is no death also for the Atma. Kadachit, anytime. Atma is never born, never dies anytime. Not only now, in any of the yugas also. All the time, Atma is never born, never dies. Why? Because I am bhutva bhavita nabhuyaha. I am bhutva bhavitana. The Atma does not come to existence at one time. It is birthless because it has not come to existence at a particular time. It has not come to, means what? It is ever existent. If Atma has not come to existence at any time, means what? It was ever existent. It was ever existence. And because of the same reason, bhuyaha na bhavita. It never stops to exist also at another time. It never was non-existent any other time. It never stops to exist also any time. That means what? It exists all the time. It was ever existent and it was existent all the time. It is existent now. It will ever be existent also in future. So in all the three domains of time, it will be always existing. Therefore, Atma is given here a new name, Ajaha. Atma is given a new name, Ajaha. Ajaha means goat, normally. The Ajaha is normally goat. Atma is therefore, don't think Atma is goat here. Atma is not a goat, but here it is birthless. ajaha. Because the same word can be derived from two roots, aj ajati. If you take aj as the root, aj ajati, gachati iti ajaha. The one that moves is ajaha. The one that moves, the goat, is an angle. So from that angle, goat means ajaha. But another root is aja. Na jayate iti ajaha, ja jan. If you take jan as the root, bond. Jan means bond. Aja means the one who is not bond. So he is not bond. So it is birthless. So then nityaha is another name also given. Ajaha is one name given to Atma. Another name given is Nityaha. It is another name. We have seen this earlier. So Yasmatir na jayate. Because of all this, it is not bond. It is given the title Ajaha, not bond. Similarly, it is, since it is deathless, it is given another title also, which is Nityaha. It is not bond, so given the name Ajaha. And it is not, it doesn't die, so it is given a new name, another name. Nityaha means eternal. It never dies. Then it is Shashvataha. Shashvataha means permanent. Shashvataha is permanent. Actually, by this word, it is indicated. What is indicated? That it is vritti rahitaha, does not grow. It is permanent means what? It is changeless. So vritti rahitaha, it doesn't grow at all. No change at all for it. Vritti rahitaha. Why? It is already infinite. What is more growth in that? No more growth. It is infinite. So it is, one of the modifications is what? It doesn't go through any of these things. So janma rahitaha doesn't have birth. Marana rahitaha doesn't have death. And vriddhi rahitaha doesn't have growth. So this is Atma. And why it does not grow? Because it is infinite. It is infinite. So Atmanaha brihattamatvat. Brihat means bigger. Big. Brihattaraha is bigger. Brihattamaha is bigger. Superlative. So brihattamaha, brihattamatvat means infinite. Because it is infinite, vriddhatamatvat. It is already very elderly. So it is not going to grow anymore. Then Puranaha. Puranaha means what? It is free from decay. It is free from decay means apakshaya rahitaha. Kshaya means decay. It is apakshaya rahitaha. Literally Puranaha means pura api navaha. That's what Puranaha means. Pura api, even though it is old. Pura means old. Even though it is old, api navaha. It appears new all the time. All these Mahabharata, Ramayana, they are all Puranas. Itihasa Puranas, all these big Puranas. They are very old, very ancient. But even today, they appear, you read Mahabharata any number of times, Ramayana any number of times, it appears as if new. Even now, if they put the, what is that, Ramchandramanas, if that movie comes in the TV, that's it, the street is closed. Everybody is stuck to the TV. Even though Puravi Napi Navaha, it is always new. So that is one, it looks always fresh. And he should, here we should note, Puranaha is the name for Atma. Not other, the other Puranas, not the Skanda Puranam and all those Puranas. They are also Puranas. Purapi Navaha is true. But here it refers to the Atma. And therefore, na hanyate. Na hanyate, the Atma can never be killed. Sharire hanyamane, even when the body is killed. Sharire hanyamane, even when the body is killed, Atma is na hanyate. It is never killed. Like, you know, some people cannot be killed directly. You know, for example, if a child in the womb of the mother, the child dies in the womb of the mother, not directly killed by somebody. It dies in the womb of mother, but indirectly got killed for some reason. So this is indirect. But the Atma, we think consciousness is dependent on the body. If you think, for example, if consciousness is dependent on the body, consciousness in the body. So when they kill the body, consciousness also should automatically die. Right? Because people might think like that, but it is never killed. Consciousness never dies. So when the body or the brain is destroyed, the consciousness also will be destroyed. That will be the thinking if you associate the body, but it is not. Krishna says it's not so. Consciousness is manifest in the body. We used the word in the last class. Consciousness is manifest in the body. It is not supported by the body. Consciousness is manifest in the body. It is not supported by the body. So even if the body dies, consciousness is very much alive. It is very much there. If it is there, then there must be, you know, I must be able to comprehend. I should be able to feel it, right? That's what I would think. So if it is there, then I should be able to feel it. Then the Shastra it says, consciousness is there, that is true. But when the body is destroyed, the consciousness which is there, it cannot manifest. The consciousness can manifest in the body. But when the body is destroyed, the consciousness is there, but it does not manifest. It is like a fused bulb. You have a fused bulb, electricity cannot pass through that. It doesn't manifest in that. But whether electricity there is there or not, what you can, how you can find out? put your hand, you will know electricity is there or not. It is very much there, but the bulb is fused, the body is fused. So it cannot manifest life anymore, it cannot manifest consciousness anymore, like the fused bulb only. So we do not think that current is not there, electricity is still flowing. Therefore Krishna says, sharire hanyamane, even when the body is killed, na hanyate, atma is not killed. We can only break the bulb, but not the electricity. We can never do that. So another example normally is given in the Vedanta is, we already went through earlier, the gata akasha. Gata means the pot. The pot space. Gata akasha is space inside the pot. Now, the space inside the pot and the space outside the pot. Now, what do you call the space inside the pot? Pot space. We call the space inside the pot as pot space. Other space is space. But when you break the pot, what happened? Did the space get destroyed? No. Space is there. But what got destroyed? The pot space got destroyed. So pot is gone, space remains. So same way when Jivatma, when this person dies, Jiva is gone, Atma remains. So like pot space only. So Atma is never destructible. It is never destructible. So incidentally, actually Krishna borrowed, this is not Krishna's original idea. He borrowed this from Kathopanishad. Krishna always tells, it is said means what is the Shastra. In Kathopanishad, the same words are used. Krishna literally actually plagiarism here actually. He just lifted from there and put it here. Najayate, mriyate va kadachit, the same words in Kathopanishad. Nayam vipaschinna babuva kaschit. That is the only change. Ajo nityaha, shastratoyam puranaha, nahanyate, hanyamane sharire. The same words are in Kathopanishad. Krishna just lifted them here. So this is not Krishna's original philosophy. This is from the Vedic philosophy only. Veda vinashinam nityam.
Veda vinashinam nityam. Veda vinashinam nityam.
Yayena majam avyayam.
Yayena majam avyayam. Yayena majam avyayam.
Veda vinashinam nityam. Yayena majam avyayam.
Veda vinashinam nityam. Yayena majam avyayam. Veda vinashinam nityam yayena majamavyayam
katam sapurusha partha
katam sapurusha partha katam sapurusha partha
kam ghatayati hantikam
kam ghatayati hantikam kam ghatayati hantikam
katam sapurusha partha kam ghatayati hantikam
katam sapurusha partha kam ghatayati hantikam katam sapurusha partha kam ghatayati hantikam.
So Krishna says here, whether a person is karta or bhokta depends on what he identifies with. If he identifies with the body, he is karta. If he identifies with the atma, he is akarta. It's very simple. So, as we said earlier, every individual is a mixture of what? Both Atma and the body. It's Atma and Anatma. Body is Anatma. Atma and Anatma. So, I means two things. I the body or I the Atma. It can be either one of them. And I consist of another thing also called the Deha or Anatma, which is inert matter. So I consist of Atma, the other thing is Deha or Anatma, which is inert matter. Body is inert matter. We have to understand it is Jada. So depends on what he identifies with. When he says, I am 5 feet so many inches tall, I am so many pounds weight, depends for it identifies the body. That I refers to the body. When I says I am changeless, I am Nityaha, Purnaha, when he says all that, refers to the Atma. So that's what depends on how he identifies. So, and I, the body, am enjoying consciousness for some time. And this body with consciousness will be there for some time, and afterwards I will die because I am matter. That means consciousness also will die. This is what philosophy? Charvaka philosophy. This is the materialistic philosophy where it says, I have the consciousness, I am the body. I have consciousness for some time and this body will die after some time. When I die, the consciousness also will die along with me, and this is the materialistic philosophy because everything is matter. So there is no question of previous or next birth, because along with me consciousness also dies. So there is nothing, no question of papam, punyam, getting another body. All those things do not exist in this Charvaka philosophy, in this materialist philosophy. So when I look at it without Shastra's guidance, now Shastra doesn't say like that, but when I look at it without the guidance of Shastra, we will come to agree to this particular analysis and think of no continuity at all. We will not think of any punarjanma, another birth, none of those things, because it ends. Consciousness also gone, body is gone. And why then this person is like this way, and another person is like another way, another child is like that? All children are born at the same time, are born to different parents in different conditions of health. All those things, why that thing happens, that we cannot answer. And he says there is nothing continuous about it. At some point, matter came together, consciousness came at some point, and why this, the consciousness should come to at some that point, he will not answer. He will say it is all chance. So Charvaka philosophy puts everything to chance. Somebody is like that because chance. Consciousness at that point it came to somebody because chance. He doesn't want to say quantitatively why this has come at all. So why should consciousness come like that? They will say it is again chance. But according to our scriptures, there is nothing like a chance. We have no probability at all. Everything is discrete. There is no chance at all in our philosophy. They look at I as not matter, but they look at I, the capital I, as consciousness. They look at consciousness. The materialistic philosophy people, they look at consciousness as a property of matter. That's what they do. It's a property of matter. I am the consciousness is different from the matter. It is independently existent of matter that is not known to them without the guidance of scriptures. So scriptures teach us that I, capital I, the consciousness, is different from the body. It is independent of body. It is independently existing, whereas the body has a dependent existence. That's what our Shastra says. So what is the function of the matter or the body? The body is only a medium. What is the function of the body? Is only a medium through which I, the consciousness, can manifest or express myself through that body. So body is only a medium through which consciousness can express itself, can manifest itself. So I by myself cannot do anything. I, the Atma, the consciousness, cannot do anything, cannot. What I can do? Nahanti, nahanyate, nakaroti. All those things are true. So I basically, the Atma, and the body is only the instrument and temporary. I manifest in that body. But the permanent consciousness temporarily functioning through this body, and when the body goes, I might not function through the body, but I continue to exist in the system. I may not function through the body. Through the body means through the gross body. I may not function through the body. Body is dead, gone, cremated, buried. No problem, it's gone. But I exist as Chaitanya. Bodies can come, bodies can go. My activities can come, my activities can go. During waking and in dream state, I am doing action. There are so many actions being done. In deep sleep, I am not doing any action. Nothing, none of these things are functioning during my sleep. All activities are resolved. But what is permanent? I am. I am there during deep sleep also. How do I know? When I wake up, what do I say? I had a great sleep. I said, how do I know I had a great sleep? You were almost like dead during deep sleep. How do I know I had a great sleep? When I wake up, I say I had a great sleep because I was the witness during the wakeful state. I was the witness during the dream state. And the same I was the witness during my deep sleep state also. So I could say I had a great sleep. So instruments are all awake during wakeful state. I can hear, I can smell, I can do everything. In deep sleep state, you don't hear anything. They are all asleep completely. And in dream state, the instruments are functioning, but they are totally different set of instruments. They are all dream instruments. They are not the same instruments with which you hear normally. You have a dream hearing, you have a dream seeing, you have a dream smelling. Whatever you smell in dream is not the smell around you when you are sleeping. But in dream you smell. So you have got a totally different set of equipments to smell during dream. But you are the witness of all of them. You say when you are awake, after the dream, when you describe this dream, oh, I had such a beautiful fragrance in the dream. It was not existing, but you still could speak. Because Atma, the Chaitanyam, is the witness in and through all the states of consciousness. The wakeful state, dream state, and the sleep state. So manifestation and non-manifestation may come and go. For the Atma, manifestation, non-manifestation. So, you know, it is like current. The current goes through the mic. So when the mic is off, you may not hear, but I can continue to speak. Because mic alone is gone, but I am there. So when the medium is gone, when the body medium is gone, for in practical purposes it appears it is dead, but it is not so. So consciousness manifests when there is equipment, and when it is unmanifest, when there is no equipment. But whether manifest or unmanifest, I am always continuous. I always exist. So I am continuous or discontinuous depends on whether I look upon myself as the Chaitanyam or as the body, consciousness or as the body. The one who looks upon himself as Chaitanyam, that is what is given here in this shloka. Huh? In this shloka, Yaha Veda, the one who knows himself to be as Chaitanyam, which is Avinashinam, which is imperishable. One who knows Chaitanyam as Avinashinam, imperishable, Nityam, because it is imperishable, it is eternal, Ajam, birthless, and Avyayam, decayless. So the one who knows the Atma as imperishable, eternal, birthless, and decayless, so the one who knows himself to be Aham Nityaha, Aham Ajaha, Aham Avyayaha, Aham Chaitanya Swarupaha. One who thinks of him like that, for such a person, what will happen? Saha Purushaha Katam Hanti. He is asking the question, Katam, how can such a person who knows himself as the Atma kill anyone? Katam Hanti, how such a person can kill anyone? Because his I means Atma. Atma is Akarta. It's not a doer. And Atma being Akarta, how he can kill anybody? So Arjuna, if you are the Atma, how you can kill anybody? But he can say another thing. I'm not the killer. Atma is not the killer. But we know everything happens in the presence of Atma only. Without the Atma, without life, can anybody do anything? No. The person who does good action and bad action, he does everything in the presence of Atma only. Without Atma, he cannot do anything. Atma being the support, the person engages in any action. So he may do good actions, bad actions in the presence of Atma only. Atma may not do anything. But in presence of Atma only, all those things happen. Atma enlivens the body to do all that thing. Then is not Atma the agent for all those actions? We can ask that question. Right? Atma is not doing fine. You know, it is like, you know, there was a sage, this great sage, he was walking on the streets. All these kids, you know, there was a small turtle crossing the street. And the turtle, these kids saw the turtle, so they wanted to hit it. You know how they want to throw stones. The turtle, what it did, it immediately hid itself in the shell. So the boys are throwing stones on the shell, nothing happens to the turtle. Now the sage is going, walking. Well, he is murmuring to himself loudly thinking. He says, why to say that you have to invert the turtle and throw stone, otherwise it will never die. Why to say all that and incur a sin? The monologue. He says and walks. All these boys heard all that, what they did. Immediately flipped the turtle. That's the turtle is gone. Is sage not a papi? It's a papi. Right? He's the agent. He didn't do the action. But he's a papi. So one can think, okay, Atma is not doing anything. But Atma, in presence of Atma only, everything is done. So can we instigate? Then can Atma be considered as the instigator of doing all these actions? Even though we call it Akarta itself, but it may not be Akarta in that sense. Can we say that? So people can argue. So Atma may also be responsible as the body. We can take Atma as not Karta, but as Karayita. That is another term called agent. Atma may be the agent for doing this action. You know, in many houses, you know, the old man is sitting in the chair, not doing anything, sitting in the chair. But around him, all actions are happening. He will say to the grandson, hey guy, come bring the newspaper. He has to bring the newspaper, read it. And the daughter-in-law has to make coffee, whatever it is. Everything happens all around this old man. He doesn't do any action. He is the agent making all actions to happen. So why we can't say that Atma is not a direct actor, but can be an indirect actor. Right? There also Krishna says, that is also not acceptable. Atma. Atma is not an indirect actor also. Atma is neither karta nor karayita. Atma is not the agent also. Because if Atma has to be an agent, if you take the example of the old man sitting, the old man, what he has, even though he is not doing action, he has willpower. He has the power to plan. He can plan an action. He can plan a thing to be delivered. He can make a wild analysis of who has to do what, who has to be doing this, who cannot be doing, all that he can plan. And he can instigate that people to do those actions. Because he has the willpower and the ability to plan and the ability to scheme, all those things he can do. And for example, if you take otherwise compared to this, you take sunlight as another example. This is one example, he has the willpower to plan all that. But if you take sunlight, sunlight shines, sun shines during the day very nicely. Everywhere it shines. And in presence of sun, what happens? The entire world comes to life, life. The morning, the moment it becomes dawn, the entire world comes to action. Everything happens during the daytime. When sun is present, everything happens. Night comes, everything dissolves, everybody went to sleep. Now, no action. But during the day, our actions happened when sun was there. Good actions happened, evil actions happened, everything happened. Can we implicate sun to be responsible for all these actions? But in presence of sun only, this entire thing happens. Everything happens in presence of sun. But we cannot imply sun as the instigator of all these actions. Where because sun doesn't will to do this action, sun was simply present. Whereas the old man willed to do these actions because he had the free will, he could plan and he was able to scheme the entire operations to happen. So he can be considered the karahita, the actor, but the instigator, whereas sun cannot be, because in presence of sun everything happened, sun did not will anything to happen. That is the difference. So Atma did not will any action to happen. So Atma cannot be considered as an agent. So nahanti na gatayati. Gatayati refers to an agent, the instigator. So Atma does not kill. Atma is not the karahita also. Vasamsi jirnani yatha vihaya.
Vasamsi jirnani yatha vihaya. Vasamsi jirnani yatha vihaya.
Navani grinnati naroparani.
Navani grinnati naroparani. Navani grinnati naroparani.
Vasamsi jirnani yatha vihaya. Navani grinnati naroparani.
Vasamsi jirnani yatha vihaya. Navani grinnati naroparani. Vasamsi jirnani yatha vihaya. Navani grinnati naroparani.
Tatha sharirani vihaya jirnani.
Tatha sharirani vihaya jirnani. Tatha sharirani vihaya jirnani.
Anyani sanyati na vani dehi.
Anyani sanyati na vani dehi. Anyani sanyati na vani dehi.
Tata sharirani vihaya jirnani. Anyani sanyati na vani dehi.
Tata sharirani vihaya jirnani. Anyani sanyati na vani dehi. Tata sharirani vihaya jirnani. Anyani sanyati na vani dehi.
So Krishna is again repeating the old ideas here. Even when the physical body dies, Atma survives. That is the crux of this. Atma survives the death of the body. It's said earlier also, nahanyate hanyamane sharire. Even if the body dies, Atma ever lives. And in this shloka, Krishna, he is talking about rebirth also, which is kind of out of context here, but he still talks about it. So we'll see that also. So when the body dies, Atma does not. So the topic of rebirth is only incidental in this shloka. And how does the Shastra explain rebirth? That we have to understand in some detail. Actually, when I started these lectures, we alluded to Tattva Bodha, which is the primer for Vedanta, where the death, all those things are analyzed very nicely. When the death takes place, it is only for the grass body. Death is only for the grass body or sthula shariram. Sthula shariram is the grass body. Of the three bodies, there is sthula shariram, sukshma shariram, karana shariram. Of the three bodies, only the grass body alone dies. Neither the sukshma shariram, subtle body, nor the karana shariram, causal body, neither of them die. Okay. So what happens to the other two bodies? Because Now when we say Atma lives, then we have to worry about the other two bodies only. Sukshma Sharira and Karana Sharira, what happens to them? The physical body gone. So here we should remember that the Sukshma Sharira, the subtle body, contains within it all the punyas and papas, all the vasanas. Whatever action the person did, whether it led to punyam, whether it led to papam, all these vasanas are where? In the Sukshma Shariram, in the subtle body, which only has the mind, which has the intellect, which has all the things, the sense organs, all those, we already defined. The Sukshma Shariram contains 17 components, right? 5 organs of action, 5 sense organs, pancha pranas, 5 different breaths, which are responsible for the different physiological functions of the body, and mind and intellect. So all these 17 put together is the subtle body. So that subtle body, it only carries the impressions of all our actions. Whatever actions you do, it only carries all the impressions. So the Sukshma Shariram, that maintains its individuality. Because all the impressions are responsible for a particular individual. So these are all actions done by each individual. The impressions are responsible for each individual. That is what, so the Sukshma Shariram, that only carries the tag of the individual. Who this person is. So when we compare two Sukshma Shariras, when we compare two subtle body, person X died, person Y died. X and Y's gross bodies are cremated and the subtle bodies remain. If you compare these two, both will be different because both will have its own individuality depending on their own punyas and papas, whatever actions they did, which we call in Tattvabodha as Sanchita Karma. Actually, if you remember that, we had 3 karmas: Prarabdha Karma, the Agami Karma, and Sanchita Karma. Just only to brief you for those who have not listened to this earlier. Whatever actions you do from this point till a person dies, they are all called Agami Karma. All these actions are called Agami Karma, and they all have their effort, the benefits, the fruits of those actions, Karma Pala. Agami Karma, and you may get the fruit of that action in this birth itself. You do work very hard, you get a promotion. Palam you got. You worked very hard, got an A grade in school. Palam immediately got. Lot of guys who will work very hard, but will not get a promotion at all in his lifetime. He worked very hard, but will not get a promotion, no recognition at all. But nature is very fair. So whatever karma he did, it puts it in some box. Okay, this guy did all good actions, but it didn't fructify this time. So there will be a time it will fructify. So it all goes. So whatever unfructified agami karma remains in this birth, that goes into a box after this person's death. That is called the Sanchita Karma. Not only in this birth, in so many other births earlier. In so many births earlier, he might have got a lot of Agami Karma done, for which no benefit is given. All these things go into a big box called Sanchita Karma. Now from that box of Sanchita Karma, this person died now. From that box of Sanchita Karma, some portion of the karma might fructify. Some portion might give rise to some fruits. Some of them, whatever was unfructified earlier, might get fructified enough. But when it fructifies, this person is gone. Cremated, body is gone. But the karma, they are there, the Sanchita Karma box, and it has to fructify. But if it has to fructify, it has to enjoy or suffer the Punya Papas. Further, how it will enjoy or suffer the Punya Papa if there is no medium? You need a body to enjoy or suffer the Punya Papas. So, whatever portion of the Sanchita Karma which gets fructified, that is called Prarabdha Karma. And for that Prarabdha Karma to be enjoyed or suffered, you need a body. And because of that, a new body is taken. So another birth is taken. So that is how a new body comes. To the fructified portion of the Sanchita Karma, that becomes Prarabdha Karma. Because of that, there is a body needed to enjoy or suffer that Prarabdha Karma. So you get another Janma. So again, Janma is taken. A person has to exhaust the Prarabdha. He may be living for 50 years, 60 years, 80 years, whatever it is. During this year, he is not sitting quiet. He is doing more karmas, more Agami Karma, more Punya Papas. Something still goes to Sanjita. So Sanjita Karma builds up. We all have got a huge baggage of Sanjita Karma behind us. Huge baggage we are carrying. So that is why Vedanta says, don't try to carry it anymore. Kick it off by escaping this cycle of birth and death. So in this Janma itself, take advantage of gaining Jnanam. Because human birth alone will give Jnanam. All other births, plant birth, animal birth, they are all just to only exhaust Prarabdha.
they cannot give jnanam. Jnanam can be gained only in the human birth. In all, because here only you have free will. So you can have punya papa, you can get out of the cycle by doing actions properly and not owning actions and not owning the karma palam. That jnanam is possible only in human birth. So the sanjita karma is baggage is there for everybody, and a fructified portion of the sanjita karma will give rise to a prarabdha karma that gives rise to this birth. Okay. So the sukshma shariram, this has to experience the consequence of the prarabdha, which has matured at some point in time, so that sukshma shariram, the subtle body, which escaped this body when after death, that alone is gone, the grass body is gone, dead. The sukshma shariram that now goes in search of another body where it can go and dwell and enjoy the punya papa. So it is moving. The sukshma shariram, we call it, the pishasha, we say all that things. This is this one. It's not anything else. The sukshma shariram is moving around. So it is mobile. Atma is not mobile, but sukshma shariram is mobile. Grass body is gone. Now it is moving around in search of another body so that it can go into the body and enjoy or suffer the consequences of its punya or papa. So this is how the circle. Yes. At the time of?
Dissolution.
It merges with the total. That's all. Because there is no identity anymore. Because the person has become a jivan muktaha. So he has no association. Because this is the example normally I give is, a guy is given death sentence. He's given death sentence. Tomorrow he used to be hung. Today evening he died. What you are hanging now? So the same way the jnani, when this person becomes a jivan muktaha, yes, already muktaha. So there is no effect of any of the karmas remaining on him. He's muktaha now. So that this is the
talk. At the time of pralaya.
Pralaya, everything resolves. At the time of pralaya, everything resolves. At the time of pralaya, everything resolves into dormant form. And this new things again, if they manifest again. But the jnani again, it merges in the total again, and it becomes resolved completely. So no more new birth for him. Another, this person doesn't take another body. But the good karmas and bad karmas of that jnani, there is another thing also. What the scripture says is, for example, those people who do good things to that jnani, the jnani is there for him, they do service to him, they do so many service to the jnani, and by doing service the jnani is pleased. Jnani doesn't own up any karma or the karma palam. So all the good karmas that he did, the good karma palam done by the jnani, they all go to these people who do service to that jnani. And there are a lot of people who may do dushanam of the jnani. They may say, oh, this jnani, he's a fake, he's a hoax. No, he may be a good jnani, but this guy may say all these things. And all those bad karmas that the jnani might have done, he doesn't own up anything. That goes to this man, this person. So it's all distributed only. It's never remains anywhere. It goes to somebody who does service to the jnani, it goes to him. Because jnani doesn't own up anything. So that's how everything merges away. So this sukshma shariram, that is in a confusion now, because it is now looking for a body where it can exhaust its punya papa. So it is looking for a body. And it cannot do it by itself. So the sukshma, dukkha, the sukha dukkha di boga ayatanam is what the grass body, and it is looking for that. Grass body is the one which is the sukha dukkha. Dukkadi boga ayatanam is the support for enjoying all the pleasures and pain. It looks for a grass body, and that is how the rebirth happens. That is how another birth is being taken. And which physical body? The sukshma shariram can take any physical body. And what body it will choose? Depends on what? Its own punya papa. It depends. You did lot of punya karmas. You are born in a good environment. With the good personality, the handsomeness, the beauty, everything, all depends on the punya papas. So, if somebody wants to know who he is, what he has to do, go stand in front of the mirror, that's all. That will tell exactly who you are. We don't have to blame anybody else for what we are now. We are responsible for what we are. So, that's what it is. So, the sukshma shariram acquires another body to exhaust the punya papa. Yes.
Starts looking for a body. So before that,
when the person dies, the Sanchitkarma, because no more new karma is being done by him. So whatever has done up to that got attached to the Sanchita Karma. So immediately goes for fructification. Actually, this is a very strange phenomenon. Normally people say it doesn't take much time at all. Because the reason is, in the way they do horoscopes, if you see, in the horoscope, they will say at the time of birth, so and so, the balance of dasha of so and so is this much. Where that dasha came from? Right? So this is how normally they make these predictions.
Still, which part of Hrithyakarma is going to
practice,
that is still a chance, right?
That is not chance. That depends on the seed, the karma. That's what I told the example earlier. For example, you plant the same, different seeds. You have papaya seeds, orange seeds, papal seeds, mango seeds. Put them all under the same environment. Give them same nourishment, everything. But different trees come at different times. And different trees give different fruits at different times. Even though we're all of them put at the same time, they give rise to different fruits at different times. The same way in Sanchita Karma also, whatever Punya Papa is fructifying now, it may be mango seed. It may come now. If it is orange seed, it may come some other time. So it depends on only the karma.
So that, the Sukshma Shariram identifies that which has to be fructified and then only it searches for the body, right?
No. Sukshma Shariram searches for that suitable body, because some portion of the Sanchita Karma fructifies and this Sukshma Shariram looks for that appropriate body. So that it will exhaust in that thing. Yeah.
I have one basic question. Like all these discussions which we are doing, and we are saying personal karma, individual karma, and prarabdha, sanchita and all that. But as there is a vyaktigat karma, there is a collective.
Yes.
A samuhik karma.
Correct.
We might be here.
Correct.
There might be something we do together.
Correct.
So then back, that's why we are here. We do an action together, so maybe something happens to our life.
Correct.
And
that is true.
And with that situation, means we say there is one sharira, one body and one jivatma. Perhaps things in real life work differently. Like this, on one server there could be one software, or one server there could be many software, or one software there may be many machines to function. So like one sharira, there could be 2-3 jivatma at the same time haunting the body. And there is a kaya view where one yogi, he can haunt many bodies, not haunt, bad word. It goes across many people.
Yeah, there are some yogic exercises, but to answer your question first, collective karma. When there is a collective karma, so many people are doing collective prayers. The collective punya there. Collective punya goes where? To all the people who participated in the prayer. But when there is a raja, raja is ruling the kingdom. Raja does his own actions. The raja is supposed to be a dharmic king. Goes according to sastras, should go according to sastras. So the prajas instead the country, they do a lot of karmas. And the actions of the praja, who is ultimately responsible for their actions? In the raja. So the collective karma of all the people in the kingdom, that also affects the raja, who was the ruler. Because the impressions of the raja and the impressions of the people who are in his kingdom, there is an overlap in them. So when the raja, when he dies, when his sukshma shariram is looking for another body, that body also will be commensurate with the collective, these things, some portion of the collective karmas of everybody. Because that's how things will happen. So in the next Janma, actually the Nadi Josiya and all those things, if you go in Kanjipuram and other places, there is this, in Pune also it is there. And they have got this Nadi. So you go to that and they will say, who were you in the last birth? Oh, you were a king. And you were a king in that birth and you did a lot of these things and all that thing. So you have got these things now. They make some, these things like that. The collective function of all the subjects in the kingdom, that has effect on the raja's future. So this is for the collective. So people who are in satsanga always, there is a collective prayer, there is a collective impression on that. So in the next janma, it will be commensurate with such an action. So it will be, a punya karma might happen, so you may be in association with such people. So these are all again guided by your own karma and your association. This collective karma has its role on it. Because in that association, your thinking is molded according to them. So it will have an effect on that. And that effect also will give rise to that particular channel. It will happen. Anything else?
In horoscope, balance of dasha is for the constellation.
Correct. Correct. That is for the constellation. That is absolutely true. But what made you to be born when that balance of dasha is for the constellation, that depends on your prarthana.
That's right. Like in a month, the planetary configuration can be the same. But Janma Nakshatram can change a person's life. So
correct. And why you should have that Janma Nakshatram? That is again depending on your person. That is why it's associated with the horoscope. Because you can have any Janma Nakshatram. Why not? Why that Janma Nakshatram when the balance of the size is that much? That begins of your karma. So this is what, so according to the karma theory, our scriptures, there need not be always a better birth. Or it can be any birth. Depending on your karma, so Sanjaya karma, for example, a person did lot of noble activities now in this janma. A nice person. So next janma we will expect to be some great punyavan or whatever it is. But what happened? In the Sanjaya karma baggage, he had some bad thing long ago. And that fructified next. So this guy, who might be a great, whatever it is now, might be born another lowly figure next time. We don't know. So which baggage of Sanjaya karma fructifies, that we don't know. We have no control on that. Yes.
But then he will have that vasana of having done good things in this birth.
Correct.
Just before
his birth.
So that will direct him or her towards doing good things.
Good things perhaps. That's true. Because in that janma also, it is like a dog born in a street and also in a very in an actress's house. You know, having another dog. It's a dog. But where it is born, it enjoys the comforts. So that's how it is. But that is how the karma theory says. So it is always, it says, it's like, you know, it, in the we have a game, the snake and ladder, some game. So you can go suddenly to some 99 or 100. Next moment you can be to zero. You can just bring you back. So a cycle of birth could be like that depending on how the karma is, how what is rectified. So sukshma shariram takes one body or the other, and this is punarjanma, the other birth. Now, this is not yet complete. Why? What happens to Atma? This body, okay. What happens to Atma? That is our question. We should remember our hero is Atma here. The decision is not on the body. So, what is the question here? When death takes place, sthula shariram is dropped. Grass body is dropped. It is burnt and buried, whatever it is. The sukshma shariram, subtle body, and the karana shariram, they are supposed to travel in search of another body. So what happens to the Atma then? They are searching. Okay, they are mobile. We said they are mobile. But so does Atma also travel? Or does it not travel is the question. We told Atma does not travel. Because what is travel? Movement is what? From a place where you are to a place where it is not. That is movement. Right? If I say I travel, I am here now. I travel means what? From a place where I am to a place where I am not. Where Atma is not. Atma is sarvagataha. It is all pervading. So there is no travel for Atma. Atma does not travel. So sukshma shariram travels, Atma does not travel. Right? So Atmanaha sarvagataha. Already we have seen yena sarvam idam tadam. We saw that already in the sloka. So just this Akasha, the same example we gave. But we have to still remember one thing. Even though Atma is sarvagataha, Atma is all pervading, what we said, Atma is not manifest everywhere. Atma is sarvagataha, true. But Atma is not manifest everywhere. Why? For manifestation, you need a medium. So only when there is a medium, Atma can express through that medium. Like electricity. Electricity is all through the wire. But light is not there everywhere. You see light only where there is a bulb. So similarly, Atma is everywhere. For Atma to manifest, you need a medium to manifest. So wherever there are bodies, sukshma shariams, Atma will manifest. Wherever there is no body, no sukshma shariram, I should not say body, wherever there is no sukshma shariram, Atma will not manifest. Yeah.
So, Atma, as it resides in me now, is not something I, you know what I mean?
It's not yours.
Right.
It is yours, at least in a way. It is called the Chidabhasaha. There is a special name for it. And what is that is, the Atma that is residing in a person, that is called Chitabhasa, that is the reflected consciousness. It is like sun is in the sky. You put a mirror. What happens? Sun comes into the mirror. Then said that the sun belongs to the mirror? No. But the sun expresses through the mirror. If you put anything else, it doesn't reflect. Only in the mirror it reflects. So that sun is called the reflected sun. So similarly, when they have a medium like the mirror, when there is a sukshma shariram, subtle body mirror, when the Atma consciousness reflects through that, it is called Chit Abhasaha. The Chit Chaitanyam, Chit consciousness reflects in this medium. It is called reflected consciousness or Chit Abhasaha. And this Chit Abhasaha is mobile. The original Chit is not mobile, but this reflected Chit Abhasa is mobile. So when you are here, Chit Abhasa is here. When you moved there, Chit Abhasa moved there. So Chidabhasa is mobile. Chidabhasa is the reflected consciousness that is mobile, but the original sun, the original consciousness, it is immobile.
So when I cease to be, then that reflection is not
there. That ability to reflect is gone, so it is not expressing itself anymore. Okay, so this is how the logic is. Everybody is clear in this? Yeah, this there should be no doubt in this. Yes.
Agami karma is only for humans, right?
Huh?
Agami karma.
Actually, karma itself is only for humans because all other jantus, they all act according to reflexes. They do not do according to their whims and fancies. Only humans are doing things according to their own will. So, for the karma, karma palam is for only for humans. For all other janma, it is only according to reflex, they just do. Actually, they are more dharmic because according to their nature, they function. They only don't. So, that is this thing. For all of that, it's not. So, Chitabhasa. Chitabhasa is the manifestation. That is the life. So, life has left the body. Chitabhasa left the body. Body is dead. And it cannot express anymore because the reflecting medium is gone. The ability to reflect is God's fusible. Yes.
I mean, just to get back to your bulb analogy, right? That there are 60 watts and 40 watt, that kind of quantitative figures. So, once Atma, once it takes into a body,
in a way, yes. Yeah, depending on the 40 watt, 50 watt depends on what? The filament and the bulb itself, right? It is not the property of the electricity, it is the property of the bulb. Right? So if your Punya Papa is will be a very glowing bulb, you may be 100 watt bulb. It depends on your own Punya Papa. If it is not that much, you may be a 0 watt bulb. It depends again on your karma, on your own Punya Papa. Atma electricity is same. How much you draw from that? Your own, the bulb's ability. Right? So this is Chidabhasa, this is the manifestation. So the Atma manifestation also travels from body to body. That Shushumna travels, the Chidabhasa travels. So Chit and Chidabhasa, this difference we should know. Reflected consciousness and original consciousness. Original consciousness doesn't move. The reflected consciousness moves depending on the medium. As the medium moves, this also moves. Okay, these are all clear. So Krishna here used the word Dehi for Atma. Dehaha is the body and Dehi is Atma. Actually, the strict translation of the sloka is that Atma moves from one body to the other, then confusion will come since Atma is supposed to be immobile. So when it says Atma moves, then there will be confusion. So it's immobile. That's why we had to go through this one. So Dehi refers to the Dehi Abhasa. Here in this sloka, Dehi refers to the reflected consciousness, not to the original consciousness. Chit Abhasa. Or the Jivatma. That is what is said here. Vasamsi Jirnani Yata Vihaya. Krishna gives here an example in which the body is compared to a dress. Vasamsi. So it's a famous quotation, always quoted by people. A dress will be useful for some time. You get a dress, useful for some time. But after some time, it gets worn out. Right? The worn out dress, it's called the jirna, old. It's worn out. So when the dress becomes old, jirna, what do? We don't worry about it. We throw it away, take to another dress. That's what we do. So we don't see the loss of the dress. We are happy that we get a new dress also, perhaps. Loss of the dress. I know that even when the dress is gone, the person inside the dress, me, I am always there. Dress is gone, but I am there always. So he says, Jirnani Vasamsi Vihaya. Vihaya means giving up. Giving up the worn out clothes. Jirnani Vasamsi. Whatever old clothes, giving them up. Naha Naraha Aparani Grinnati. Naraha means people. Humans. Aparani Grinnati. They take to new clothes. New clothes, they take to different clothes. The person is not new, only the cloth is new. He takes to new clothes. So aparani refers to aparani vasamsi, new clothes, other clothes. Tata, in the same way, as the old cloth is worn out, the new person takes to new clothes, in the same way, tata, dehi, dehi means the manifest consciousness. You should be careful. Dehi is the manifest consciousness. It is not the actual original consciousness. The manifest consciousness, that is the consciousness along with the sukshma shariram, the medium, the subtle body, does what? Jirnani sharirani vihaya. Vihaya means giving up the worn out bodies. Jirnani, there jirnani vasamsi, worn up clothes. Here worn out shariras, bodies. It also takes up this one. So now we should not ask the question here, how the jiva given up only the worn out clothes, right? How the jiva gives up only the worn out clothes, because all people then, you know, if it is worn out, if you say something is jiva gives up worn out clothes, everybody should die only at about 99 or 100, right? Worn out, person becomes worn out completely only at that time, because people die at 35, 25, 45, 85, 100. Worn out means you have to live a full span and get worn out, and then only people can die. How all people die in between? Other things. So this question can come. So the concept of worn out is different from individual to individual, that we have to understand. We will never be able to understand how a person can be worn out at 10 and 10, 15 and even immediately after born. Very difficult to understand, right? We have to understand it clear. For example, the same way, analogies can be given from our material world. For a rich person, very rich person, what is worn out cloth? One day old clothes or one time worn cloth is worn out for him. He wore it only once, 365 days. I have 365 saris. Every year, every day I change a sari. Or in the same day, three times I change the sari. The worn out definition depends on the person. So for one person, worn out is immediate. For some person, and what is worn out for this person, he gives it to a servant. It is new to him. And normally the Swamiji gives this example of these taxi drivers, right? The guy was having a beautiful car, you know, he used it for maybe X number of years or day, months or whatever it is. He gave it to another guy, who gave it to another guy, finally ended up in some cabbie. Some Sardaji is running a cabbie somewhere in Bombay or somewhere. For him it is Navani, it is a new. It's a new cab, I got a Naya car. That's what he, for him it is a new car. It's not really a new car, but it all depends on who uses it. So this Jirnani depends on the person, depending on his karma. So for some people, the prarabdha may be needed only for a small length of time to exhaust the punya papa which fructified from the sanchita karma that gave rise to that birth. Once it is over, prarabdha exhausted, person kicked, that's it, he went out. For others, that is why in our families also, 90, 80 year old people, they will say, because they will be very frustrated about living for such a long time. They will say, I don't know what kind of papa I have brought. I am still suffering here. Oh, that guy was punyavan, he left early. All these things we hear because for him it is like this. What to do? You have to go through this. You cannot do anything about it. Nobody can predict when somebody will die. So they have to go through this entire thing. So, tatam jirnani sharirani vihaya. Giving up the worn out clothes, dehi, this jivatma or the chidabhasa or chitabhasa, anyani sanyati enters into another body. Anyani sanyati enters. And here Krishna uses plural. Anyani sanyati, he uses plural because it is not just one body he enters, so many bodies in future he is going to enter. We don't know. Because unless he becomes a jnani, he will be keeping on entering into so many bodies. And this travel will continue till liberation or moksha is gained through atmajnanam only. And what are those bodies? Navani. They are all new bodies, fresh bodies. Each time, the Sushma Sharira looks for a fresh body, new bodies. And each body is, and what is new? As I told you, you know, what is new for a person who bought a very new car and the guy who uses as a cabby driver, for him that car is new. It all for a servant, this is a new cloth you got, whereas he used it only for a small time. So this is what the definition of Navani is given here. So Atma Nityaha, Atma Nirvikaraha, that is the essence of this shloka. Atma is Nityaha and Atma does not go through any change. So the topic is what? Topic is not about rebirth. We should understand. Because when we go home, what will be in our mind will be about the rebirth only, because that is interesting. The topic is not rebirth. Krishna is bringing it out of context here. Topic is Atma. Atma is Nityaha. Atma is Nirvikaraha. That is what we should understand. Atma doesn't undergo any change. Atma is eternal. That is all we have to understand. Bodies come and bodies go. We can assume new bodies, they will come and go, but Atma ever remains. It is Sarvagataha, it is Nityaha, it is Nirvikaraha. But the reflected consciousness, that alone moves, but the original consciousness does not move. That is why people move, consciousness also moves with them.